The church in its tradition has had two ways of passing on the gospel message. Primarily it's had two ways other than trying to live by the example. The first way, and this is not to be a lecture, is what we call didactic. And the word means to teach. It's an adjective. It's in a didactic way. Now, to teach is what the church has done very well through catechetics. It's done very well through Catholic education, for the main part. It has taught people what the commandments of God are. And they get listed here today, the first part of them, in the first reading, and Jesus refers to it, obviously, in the Gospel. And the church has unpacked that since people were little and since some of you had the little green catechism. Now, didactic teaching has usually got a moral element to it. So it's about not just so much progressing the faith, as it were, but it's the understanding of the written word. The other method of passing the faith on and reinforcing is what we call kerygmatic. And the word kerygmatic, or kerygmatic, comes from the Greek, and it means to proclaim. Now, the church, as I said, has been very good with its catechesis on the main, for the main, but it has been in the last century, or the last half century, I should say, less effective in the kerygmatic, in the proclaiming. Now, the teaching element goes to the word, and it'll unpack it and make sure that you understand what it means. The kerygmatic is really about living what you've learnt. It is proclaiming it, not just in word. For somebody in my position, how I proclaim it is hugely important. For people who don't get the opportunity to preach by word, they preach by life, by the way they live their life. And the church has not been so strong, in my view, in proclaiming what it is we believe. The kerygma that we believe is there is one God. His Son, Jesus Christ, died as my Saviour. That's it. There's one God, and his Son, Jesus Christ, died as my Saviour. And the kerygma is me living that out the rest of my life. And Jesus is the first person to bring together the law of Moses from Deuteronomy and then the later law in the book of Leviticus. He brings the two together. And everybody knows that what's called the Shema prayer. The Jews say it regularly, several times during the day. There's one God, etc., etc. It's quoted there directly. So everybody knows that. However, what most people forget is the second part of what Jesus brought together, which is to love your neighbour as yourself, which comes from Leviticus. So he brought the two together. So the man, the scribe who came to Jesus, he understood that. He was not there testing Jesus like everybody else. He was there involved in a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus, for a change, gave him a direct answer. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a parable and teach you about this. He gave him the very direct answer. So his didactic approach, if you like, his teaching approach, he didn't need to worry about that. He just put it straight out there. And then comes in the kerygma. How do we live that out? You cannot love God unless you love your neighbour. You cannot love your neighbour unless you love God. That's the bottom line. That's what Jesus is bringing together there. So that love that he's talking about has no sense of skin colour or religious background or gender. None of those things. Cultures, none of those things. The love that Jesus is referring to is that we have been created in the image and likeness of the one God, and he has tasked us with giving all things to him, and we can only do that if we focus on our neighbour and we love our neighbour as ourself. The part that blurs it for people in the Western world is that word love, because it's been messed up in a sense by so many songs and poems that have got to do with eroticism and to do with feelings. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Love in the biblical sense means to belong to. That's what it means. So when we say to love the one God, it means I belong to God. To love my neighbour, I belong to my neighbour. My neighbour belongs to me because we belong to God. Jesus then goes on and mentions, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, straight from Deuteronomy. But if you read it again, you'll notice he says, and with all your mind. There's a fourth element in there. Now, all of those elements, of course, make up the whole human person. We understand that. But when we look at those four elements and the way that we are supposed to proclaim, live our life, acknowledging the one God and his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, those four elements need to be lived out in absolutely everything we do and say. That's why it's such a powerful, powerful reading coming towards the end of the year. So the heart, of course, cardo is the word for the heart. In a Roman city, the main street right down the city, the main street was called the cardo. It's the heart of the city. And from that place, all business operates. All decisions in our life seem to come from our heart. That was the understanding. What's going on in here rules what happens with what we often say and what we do. So it's the centre of our life is the right heart. The next thing he talks about is the soul. Now Jesus says, unless you lose your soul, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Your soul is absolutely everything that makes you who you are. So your heart is all of your decisions, everything that you want to do, as it were, and be. But who you are, that is your soul. So you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with everything that you are. And then he mentions the mind. And the mind, of course, is make every decision in your life one that demonstrates your love of God and love of neighbour. Every decision, everything that you think about, make sure that it's oriented towards God. It's a tall order, given. But that's how demanding it is to be a Christian. And this is what has been passed on to us from the apostles. So this wasn't made by some theologian down the track. The apostles recorded this. And it is part of our apostolic faith. The next thing he says is, and it comes straight from Deuteronomy, and is you love the Lord your God and your neighbour with all your strength. So that means everything that is physical in you, everything that is spiritual, everything that is emotional in you, whatever makes you who you are, make sure that it demonstrates love of God and love of neighbour. That's why the man who heard Jesus' response was able to say, "Well spoken, Master," because that's the intensity with which that man would have heard it. And Jesus, in one sense, gave him a bit of an ego boost by saying, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." He wasn't being patronising. The man understood what Jesus was saying. And we know how things unfold down the track by those that didn't love with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. We know how that worked out. So at this time, I would just encourage all of us to develop our hearts and our minds and our souls and develop our strength into loving God so that we can truly love our neighbour. Our neighbour are those people in our life that God has put before us, whether we're aware of that or not. And it is through them that we reach God. I'll say again, we cannot love God if we do not love our neighbour. And we cannot love our neighbour if we do not love God. The gospel demands nothing less of us than to make sure that we develop our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength with that love, that belonging, that total belonging. Say again, the gospel demands nothing less of us.